Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I'm so grateful to the Lord for allowing us to be able to meet again on this day that we have set aside to be able to worship and praise the Lord together. Again, I want to thank you for joining with us here at the St. James Missionary Baptist Church during our worship experience. Thank you for joining me at this particular time for our morning message. And I pray that the Lord will bless us, that we be able to be truly blessed by and through His Word. Having said that, let us first pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us one more time to be able to just praise and worship you together. We thank you, Father, for watching over as we slept through the night and for waking us up this day and allowing us to be able to just give you the praise and glory for it all. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as your word goes forth, it will go forth, Heavenly Father, to receptive ears. Ears, Heavenly Father, that are willing and desiring to hear the truth from your word, the Holy Bible. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless me to be able to be that instrument this day, that instrument in your hand, to be able to rightly divide your word of truth, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego. Lord, we are praying as always that some soul truly will be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified by and through your word being preached and taught this day. For this I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Going right into our message today, I going to invite you to join us in three books from the Bible. And that will be from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the seventh verse, excuse me, 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the seventh verse, and from 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and the ninth through the 10th verses. And Acts, the 13th chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verses. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 16th chapter and the 7th verse reads as follows. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. In 1 Samuel, excuse me, 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. Why? Excuse me. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despise me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. And Acts, the 13th chapter, the 22nd and the 23rd verses. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. We've read from 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and Acts. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. You know, when many of us think of David, we think of a young man tending his father's sheep, a young man whose harp playing brought sense to King Saul, who was somewhat mad, insanely jealous, and you know, just out of his head. But when David would play his music before him, that would be soothing to him and relax his mind, so to speak. We might think about a young David who was so enraged by this giant named Goliath, who was going out insulting his God and blaspheming his God and saying all terrible things about his God, and how all of these warriors, these men, were standing around and just listening to him, afraid of him, because he Goliath was a giant now. He was a man of great stature and very strong, and a lot of the men, they were just afraid of him. But David, you know, well, we know now, we look back when we read the scripture, who was filled and was moved and empowered by God, went out and destroyed, slayed this Goliath with just a stone coming from his slingshot. No sword, spear, any of those weapons, just that stone coming from his slingshot. And then there, of course, there's some of us who think about David. David is a king, powerful man, had control over the land, and many believe and agree that David might have been Israel's greatest king. Yet, in that role of king, he took another man's wife, sent that man, who was a captain, who was a warrior, sent him, had him sent to the front lines so that he could be killed. And after his wife mourned his death, he took her to be his own, because he had already laid with her while the man Uriah was out fighting the war. Anyway, and then he compounded it by not only impregnating the young lady, Bathsheba, y'all know the story, and trying to get the husband, Uriah. Oh, it was just a mess. Trying to get him to act like he's the one who's got her pregnant. And he, when that plan went south, then he, of course, he plotted to have him killed. This was terrible. Terrible before God. Terrible. And well, God was not pleased with what David did. I want you to hear what I said. He was not pleased with what David did. I did not say he was not pleased with David himself. No, I said he was not pleased with what David did. I want you to hear what I said. And remember, I said that. Okay. And then, of course, things just begin to unfold. As we look into these texts, we'll see that. Now I'm talking about man, but we do, okay? We tend to judge a man's character by the things he's done. If we look at what this man has accomplished, some will say, oh, this man has he's been in the service. He was a great warrior, a great soldier, a good officer. He retired. He was, and we look at that. We look at the fact that this man has had a good job, and he was able to accomplish a good position at his job and acquire different things from his job. Maybe a beautiful home, beautiful automobile, and things of that nature. Maybe the man's grown up. We look at him, he's grown up and he's gotten married and got a wife and children and things that go with that. So we look at what a man has done, what a man has accomplished. And a lot of times we look at that and we judge that man's character because we see those things that this man has accomplished, these things that that man has done, even, okay, the things that the man is presently doing. We look at all of that. We look at all of that, and that's how a lot of us judge a person's character. You know, that's just what we do. But who else? You tell me, who else besides God can look, that's what I'm saying, can look at the heart and mind, soul even of a man, and know who they really are? I want you to understand what I'm saying. You see, we can look at a person and we can see what a person does, what a person says, what a person is doing. We can look at all of that and not really know why or what has motivated them to do what they do. Sometimes we look at a person and see them put in a certain amount of money, even in the church offering. Some would say, oh, they're just beautiful people. They're good. The Lord blesses them, and they do not hesitate to bless the Lord with their offering, through their offering. And then there's some who look and say, no, they just, bragging because they, or going on because they got so much and they will just want to appear today some kind of big deal. So people will view it the way they just view it for whatever motivates them. Maybe it's out of, again, out of jealousy, envy, or what have you, or whatever, because they see it through it. Those lenses, that's what they say that person is. And this is what we do, this is what men do, you know. But I want you to take note that David was so confident. But I want you to hear everything I'm saying to you. Now don't miss this. David was so confident about how he felt about God that he even asked God to search his heart and mind. Now, pause this again. David knew himself. He knew himself and was confident in himself. You see, there's many of us. We're not even confident about ourselves. How in the world can you expect anybody else to be confident in you, about you, or whatever it is you're saying, doing, whatever, if you yourself are not confident? You might be wrong in what you're saying, wrong in what you're doing, but it doesn't mean you're not confident in it. How many times have you met people who seem like they know everything, or they want to speak on anything? It might not even be correct, but they're confident. They didn't hesitate to say it. They're willing to stand by what they said. Though they might be right, wrong. Like a lot of people say, be loud and wrong. But they standing by it, confident in what they're saying, in what they believe, and do not hesitate to speak on it. But here, David took it to a different level. He said, listen, not only do I believe in me, not only do I know what I'm about, not only do I know why I do, why I say what I do, but Lord, search me. Search me. Listen, look, y'all don't believe me. Listen, look at what he says right here. I'm gonna shoot over to Psalm 139. I want y'all to get this. This is important. I want you to get this, starting at the 19th verse. This is what he says. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Now, think about this. Think about this. Is same as isn't this what Goliath was doing? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. Gosh. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, this is what David is saying in Psalm 139 verses 19 to 24. The people that hate you, I hate them. Those that just want to do bad things and terrible things about you or against you, I hate them with perfect hatred. My. They're my enemies. Now I'm gonna tell you something. It don't pay to be enemies of those in position, especially in the position of a king, when all he got to do is say, off with his head, off with her head, banish them, whatever. See, not only did David hate them, not only did he hate them, he said, I count you as my enemies. I take it personal. You hate my God? I hate you. This is what David was about. And he said, listen, God, search me, because if I'm wrong, okay, lead me in the right way. If I'm wrong, lead me in the right way. Y'all, this is coming from the heart of David. We man can look at somebody and see what motivates them to do everything that they do. God can. Some folks look at him and they want to look at it. That's what he is. That's who he is. That's who she is. That's who what she's about. And I dare say that many times they look at this from one incident in your life. Think about this. We just mentioned some things about David. Okay, and David just said some things. And with these things that we've talked about thus far, I just want to introduce you to our subject for today. It is very simple. Our subject for today is simple. Only you, Lord, know who I really am. Only you, Lord, know who I really am. That is our subject for today. Only you, Lord, know who I really am. We look at David and you say, well, it seems to us that Who David was is pretty cut and dry. Again, only you, Lord, know who I really am. Man thinks they know who I am. They think they know why I did what I did. They think that, but only you know. Only you, Lord, know who I really am. Let us continue looking to our text. Let's look a little bit, see if we can look a little bit deeper into it. First off, in 1 Samuel 16, okay, look, I want you to pay focus on this part right here, what it says here. Okay, I've read it for you in your hearing, but you read it at your leisure in that seventh verse where it says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, just like I've stated already, okay, we tend to judge a person's character by what they own, what they've done, what they're doing, okay? But the Lord is concerned about the reasons why a person does what they do. And only He can look into a person to truly answer that question. Why does a person do what they do? Okay? Only the Lord can look in there and see that. The word of God says that man looks on it, when he said looks on the outer appearance, all I know is what I see. All I know is what I see. I've shared with my own children, my own nieces, daughters. Boy, come up to you talking about, "Oh yeah, man, I like you. I really like you. I really want it." And all that may sound, and oh, you may be so flattered. Maybe he's handsome, well built, well dressed, and on all of that. And you're forgetting something important. You say, "You like me? What is it about me you like? You don't know me. You happen to see me standing here waiting for the bus or getting ready to go in the to work or wherever, and you talking about you like me. What is it about being like? Oh, what you see, the outer appearance. That's what." And I'm not saying that's completely wrong. That's for a first impression. But don't say you like me because you don't know me. You don't know my favorite color. You don't know my preferred dresses over slacks. You don't know if I like walks, or you don't know how old I am. You don't know if I have any siblings. You don't know anything about me. So what is it about me that you's talking about you like? See, it works both ways. And that's just in one aspect of living. People say, I like who you are. I like what you're about. You don't know what I'm about. Nobody, no, we've never talked. You haven't been in my audience in any kind of capacity to know even hear what I'm about. But the word tells us the Lord don't see us. Now watch this. Now watch this. Now, we just talked about seeing a person's outer appearance, but it said the Lord doesn't see us as men see us. He said, "Well, wait a minute, what does the Lord see? How could he?" Oh, you try to tell me the Lord can see beyond what man sees, deeper than what man sees, different than what man sees, something different than what man can visually see with his eyes? You try to tell me God sees something different? We're gonna answer that question in a minute. Okay, we're talking about David, and we're talking about how only you, Lord, know who I really am. And we're thinking about David today. I want you to think about yourself and how people see you. And are they really seeing you? Oh, let me go ahead on, 'cause somebody ain't gonna like this. Let me go a little bit further. Okay. So we made that statement. Okay, only the Lord knows the reasons why a person does what they do. And only he can look into that person to truly answer that question. We got that. But let's go a little bit further. What he said in 2 Samuel. Okay. Therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. You say, well, this seems like you went way into the left field with this one. But I want you to understand something. You see, when God looks at us, who we really are, it prompts him to do something. The Lord is going to allow us to continue doing what we do. He says, you're doing what I told you to do, the way I told you to do it, or whatever. He's going to allow you to continue to do that. Or you may not be doing what he wants you to do. He may let you continue to do that. But if you're one of his children, it's a different story. You may look at a child out in the street and see them saying things that, oh, that child shouldn't be talking like that. You may see them doing something. Child shouldn't be doing that. You may see that child going a place they should not be going. Or that person, oh, you have to be a child. You have to be a young child. I'm not talking about a young, innocent child. They could be a teenager or a young adult. Your attitude about that may be against it, but your actions may be based on something else. One, it's not my child. Two, it's not my place to do or even to say anything about this. Or three, that is my child, and this is what I'm going to do. That is my child, my niece, my nephew, my cousin, whoever, somebody in your family, a good friend of somebody you know. They may, in other words, you have relationship with that person. That dictates something a little bit different, how you're going to react. Okay. Well, the same thing with our Heavenly Father. This is my Father, as well as my God, my Lord. And when I do something that He told me not to do, say something He told me not to say, go somewhere where He told me not to go, there are going to be consequences. It's called when I sin, my sin is going to be accounted for. And also, I need to be sure and understand something. My sin is going to find me out. It's going to come out. That thing that I think I'm doing in the dark where nobody can see it, it's going to come to light. That thing that I'm doing, that I think I'm doing in secret, God's going to reveal it. You'll feel like an open book. I'll feel like an open book. Well, David sinned a great sin before God. I'm not going to go into that whole story. You can read it at your leisure. Many of you are already familiar with what David did with Bathsheba. The terrible thing to God. There's a whole, and the scriptures go into it in great detail why it was such a terrible thing before God. It was a terrible thing. And because of what David did, I decree this sword would never depart from your house. Because you despised me. In other words, you did something completely contrary to what I told you to do. Or I told you, you just did something I told you not to do. And you did it anyway. God took it personal. You're my child. You're my servant. You're my ambassador. You're my witness. And yet you went out here and did what I told you not to do. You all but put me to an open shame. You damaged my name. You did this, David. You made yourself a liar, a murderer, and an adulterer. You did all of this and more in one sinful act. You defied me in more than one way through one terrible act. And it had ripple effects. It affects other people as well. I can't tolerate this. I can't, and I gotta stop this right at the start. Yes. And when we look into what happened when David's family is, oh, it's not good. We see a brother raping their own sister. He said, whatever, sister-in-law, we see that. We see the violence that came to David's household. They're still talking about the sword. We see the violence that came to his own household because of this sinful act. We see where God said, no, I'm going to stop this child that you had through this sinful act. I'm going to kill this child. This child is going to die. Cry all you want to me, David. Still go into sackcloth and ashes and fast all you want, but that child is going to die. And this is what God decreed. This is what David brought onto his household because of his sinful act. Some of you are saying, wow, this is what the word means when it says God only chastises his own. This was a lot of punishment he put on David. Yes, he did. And that's only the surface of the effects of this punishment. But we're going to go a little bit further. That's a deeper lesson for another time. We're talking about only you, Lord, know who I really am. Could you say, well, David took that man's wife. I want y'all to remember this. Think about this. We're getting almost there. And thirdly, he tells us in the book of Acts, now watch this. He said, well, you done painted such a terrible picture, David. But look at this 13th chapter of Acts. Look at what it says here. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now you're saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait 1 minute. David, you lied, you cheated, you took advantage of your position as king, and you made yourself a murderer. You've done all of this stuff, but God gave the testimony, okay, that you were a man after his own heart. You were a man that God searched, looked into your heart, and found someone who had a mind that was really focused on understanding and considering God's wishes, even though you went against his wishes. Beloved, I'm saying this here. Like I told you, I wasn't going to keep you long. I'm about finished. We look at David's life and we see how it started out all so innocent. We see the innocence of a young David tending his father's sheep, defending his father's sheep against lion and bear. We see that. We see a David who was a musician, played so sweetly that an evil king, and some might say an insane king, insane with jealousy and envy and whatever else was going on in his head. David's music soothed him. We see that the young David who did that. We see a young David who was such a friend to the son, the king's son, Jonathan. They had a friendship. It was so beautiful. Nothing, no, not homosexual, but it was so sweet that it was like that between the word describes it, like a male and a female. They was just so close. The love between them. We see that in the young man. We see a young man who's not afraid, strong, not so much physically strong, but strong in spirit, strong in might, strong in his conviction, strong to the point that no, I'm here to defend my father's sheep. That lion, that bear may come, but no, you cannot have him. And he was willing to defend his father's sheep with his very life. We see that in him. Yet we see when, as he got a little bit older, making the mistake of not going out to the battle with his men like kings do. That was part of their what they did. Somebody say part of their duty. He decided to stay home, and when he stayed home and looked over yonder and seen this beautiful woman bathing, his flesh, now watch this, his flesh desired that woman. And being king, he said, not only did he desire her, I want her, get her. Now we see all of this is we see where his life took this kind of turn, some might say, and he did this terrible act. But I want you to understand what it was. It was a terrible act. But look at the ripple effect of that act. He said it brought back terrible devastation to his home, to his house. And I want you to understand something, beloved. Like we said in the beginning, okay. David committed an act. Okay, he committed a terrible act, but that was not where his heart was. We look at David and see that he too is just a man who allowed his own lust to take advantage of him, to overcome him. And when that happened, it caused him to do even more to try to, that wound up compounding it. Oh gosh, I slept with this man's wife. Okay. And then the problem when she gets word back to him that she's with child, he said, oh my gosh, it's even worse. Let me get this man to come back from the battle and come back and give him like a weekend pass. He can come and stay and go back to his wife. And then I'm sure when he comes back with her, he'll lay with his own wife. And when this child come forward, he can say it was his child. But the man, Uriah, being an honorable man, when the king allowed him to come home, he said, I can't go and stay in comfort with my wife and while the men are out there fighting. He came home and did not go and sleep with his wife. He had to come home because he's ordered to. So David said, oh gosh, God didn't stay with his wife. I tell you what we'll do. We'll go out and we'll have a good time and we'll get him drunk. And I'm sure that once he gets drunk, he'll go and he'll lay with his wife. But even then, he didn't do it. Well, David said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll have this man sent to the front lines, and I know, and I have some of those men draw back, and I know once he gets to the front lines of the battle, he's going to be killed. And that's what happened. So you're saying, oh my gosh, David, you did all of this. He did that. But note, take note, and I don't want you to forget this. That one sinful act of taking another man's wife caused him to go down a path that caused all this other lies and deceit and all that stuff to come out. And this is what can happen to many of us. We do that one thing, we commit that one act, and it has its ripple effect. But even though what he did was bad, God said, this is a man after my own heart. That's not what he's about. That's not what he really is. But and we don't know. We don't know. We don't know if David was just at a time when he was lonely or lust overcame him. And we know what we see. But what did God say about him? This is a man after my own heart. This is a man who has a mind focused on me. This is a man who is about what I'm about. This is a man, okay, who loves me. But this is also a man who got caught up in his flesh and made a mistake. But I can't let it go unpunished. I can't let it go unpunished. I love David. I love him. But I can't let what he did go unpunished. Beloved, I'm saying this and I'm done. A lot of us can remember what we've done great wrong to our parents. A lot of us can think about some of the wrong that our children have done towards us. You love them. You know that your parents, your father, loved you. But what you did had to go punished. That punishment came with what you did. And sometimes that punishment caused other terrible things. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. You may have, for young men, you may have a young lady that you were seeing and y'all had made big plans for this weekend. Maybe y'all planned to go to the movies, or maybe it was prom time and you were taking this young lady to the prom, and you had the made arrangements for the limo, and you got your all this stuff. But what you did was so devastating that your parents, your father said, no, there'll be no prom. There'll be no school dance. There'll be no movie this weekend. None of that. And you were devastated. The person that you made a promise to, now you can't keep it. It has an effect on their life as well. But look at what God said. What you did was devastating. And because of what you did, the violence is not going to leave your household. Beloved, some of us are living lives doing knowingly what God said not to do. You call yourself a child of God, and maybe very well you are, but you allow yourself to get caught up doing something that God said don't do. I want you to know something, beloved. Do not think that what you're doing is going to go unpunished. You may pray about it. You may say, God, I'm sorry. And you might really be. But what you did is going to be punishable. And God is going to punish you. God punished David, a man after his own heart. And it was a devastating punishment. What do you think God will do to you? Oh, I'm not talking about you who have not been born again. The worst punishment is if God does nothing. That lets you know that you're not his. And if you're not his and you die in your sin, hell will be your own. There's no worse punishment than that. Some of you are saying, boy, you're very blunt. I'm not being blunt. The word of God is blunt. It's very plain. Jesus, God, listen, Jesus said, and I say this almost every week, and I'm going to continue till the Lord tell me different. Jesus himself, I'm not going along with all the other scriptures, with all the other prophets and apostles, even elders, and tell you this is what the word says. Jesus himself says, you must be born again. You must be. If Jesus is not punishing you, and you know that what you're doing is completely against what he says in his word, you better go back and re-examine what you think you have. Because if you can continue in your sin, doing what you're doing, and you're not getting punished for it, it's a good bet that you are not one of his. Because the Lord only punishes his own, chastises his own. You see, only the Lord knows who you really are. You can fool us. You can fool me. You can fool sister, brother, husband, wife. You can fool a lot of folks. But you can't fool God. Can't fool him. Some of us can talk the talk, and some of us can fake the walk. Some will say, well, you can talk it, but you can't walk. I mean, let you know some of us can fake the walk, but not to God, not to him. Only the Lord knows who you really are. Which I'm saying to you today, and I'm as I'm finishing. Are you a person after God's own heart? Are you someone who has a mind for God? Are you someone who is part of the family of God? Do you find that you need to say, even like David said, search me, Lord. If you find, he said in Psalm 139, I want you to know my heart. I want you to try me. Put me to the test. and know my thoughts. And if you see there's anything wicked in me, please lead me in the way of everlasting life. Lead me in your way, Lord. A child of God can say those exact words. Someone who's not a child of God, you can say them also. Because when you say, Lord, when you see this wicked in me, lead me into the way of everlasting life. And how is there everlasting life? It's only through Jesus Christ. Only through him. By believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as Savior, that is the way to everlasting life. Only you, Lord, know who I really am. I've been fooling a lot of people. That's what some of you are saying. People who think I'm one thing and I'm really something else. I might have even been fooling myself. When I take inventory of my life and against what the Word of God says, I find out that I'm coming up short. I'm so glad, Lord, that only you know who I really am, and you reveal it to me. You reveal it to me even before you revealed it to those in the world. You didn't put me out there. This is what some of you are saying. Only you know, Lord, who I really am. God bless you. Have a smile upon you, beloved. May the Lord bless you, keep you. That we may all live, you as well as myself, according to his will and his way. Amen.